Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to Red Sky Radio, and welcome, world, to the program where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I have so much to fit in today. I don't have much time for good news, and partly I don't have much good news. I got a little bit. I'm going to try to end on a positive note. In between, you have to hang on. But if you have a comment, question, criticism, you know where to find me. Info at redskyradio.net. Info at redskyradio.net. We've got a couple of topics. Really, we're going to touch on two particular topics today, each of which are addressed in the Word of God. And that's the important thing. I believe everything that is material in life, every issue that's of any consequence, is addressed in the Word of God. I believe it. I live it. I think it. I breathe it. I drink it. I eat it. I love God's Word because it is ever applicable to every situation. And we're going to touch a couple of things. I touch on a couple of things. One that deals with the intention to redo, reconstruct the U.S. Constitution, and the other one, the Democrats' hiding and secrecy in the Trump impeachment process. Both of them are addressable, if you will. You can evaluate each. You can come to conclusions that are fixed and certain from God's word on each of these situations. So why I want people to just so fall in love with the Word that when something comes along, you'll be able to say, oh my gosh, I remember something here in the Word that speaks to this very issue. You never would have thought when you read that item or that passage in Scripture, hopefully 5 or 10 times or more, that it was going to apply someday, but it's in there. And when the situation comes along, then God's Word rises to the top and makes application, because what's past is prologue. I mean, so much of Scripture is for. You think, well, what does this Old Testament passage have to do with any of this? And yet, what has a lot to do with everything, because it's there because it's a paradigm for something that in all probability is going to show up in your life later on, in the life of you, your family, your country, your city, your marriage, what have you. There are things to be drawn from all of Scripture. They're not there because God needed to have 1,200 pages to fill a Random House publishing contract. By no means. It's there for our edification. Okay, our good news, let's get rolling here. We have settled on the name of the new program. I was 98% there. Not a replacement to Red Sky Radio. It's going to be an addition. I'm not exactly sure when it's going to start. I think we have the music for it, but Real Men Radio is coming very, very soon. A program to build up men, to encourage men, to instruct men, to maybe chastise and rebuke men, coming all from this speaker who is eminently unqualified to do this. This is a daunting task for me because I hardly feel like I have succeeded as a man, other than the fact that I don't quit trying, and I know that what's ahead of me is better than what's behind me. I forget that which is behind me. I press on to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And I guess as long as I keep going in the right direction, maybe somehow I am the person to do this. I've been asked to do it. I have accepted it. And please look forward to that. I'll tell you exactly when it starts. What week that will begin, I don't know that as of yet. Okay, next piece of good news. Donald Trump breaks all fundraising records. He's raked in $300 million for the reelection campaign. Now, this has got to terrify the Democrats, absolutely terrify them, because they're already losing in the public opinion poll. That's right. Donald Trump has finally eclipsed 50% in the public opinion, and I'm sure it's much higher than that. He's higher than Barack Obama was at this point in Obama's presidency, and look how easily Obama won the second term. Now, I'm not saying Trump is going to win. I have no idea. He could lose it. I prepare for everything, and I am prepared for his loss. I'm prepared for his victory. I kind of split the difference on things, but I can't just say, well, I know he's going to win. Some have prophetically said that. Some, a number actually have prophetically said he will serve two terms. And I'm great with that. I just have to wait and see. I have no way to affirm or disaffirm those prophetic statements. But it is a great thing that he's got $300 million. You know, he had to finance most of the campaign himself the first time around, but apparently there's a lot of money pouring in because they see him, I guess, getting reelected, and they want to be on the good side of the guy. That's why people contribute. In one case, other cases, they contribute because they actually believe in what the person is saying. So anyway, it's good news. It's terrifying to the Democrats, which is what the impeachment thing is all about. They don't dare to actually proceed with the impeachment. And I'll share that, why that's true, later in the program. They just want to trail along with stuff that they can keep throwing negative things into the media, which just sucks it up like a vacuum cleaner, exercises no discernment or discrimination in what they, I'm sorry, not discrimination in the sense of being discriminating. They don't exercise any of that in the publication of what they disseminate. It's all anti-Trump. Anti-Trump, anti-Trump. Everything today is like yesterday, like last week, like last month, and like last year. It's all designed for one purpose, and that is to reverse the last election. Okay, moving on. Now, I'm going to throw out a couple of things which are going to be a little bit startling, but they're going to be the preface to the point that I want to make about the growing desire among phenomenally many, many people to have a constitutional convention and to redo our Constitution, contending that it's out of date for reasons which I will share with you. It's a very concerning thing, and I'm going to address it from the Word of God, but just listen to the couple of these stories that reveal where we are. This is, and these are just random, and these are just from this week. This week. This is 6 days. It's only a few stories from 6 days. University of Washington comes out. They got this is a taxpayer paid professor, and whatever department this guy represents has contended that SpongeBob SquarePants is violent and racist, and that he supports American military violence in the expulsion of indigenous peoples. Now, is that because SpongeBob is a sponge and he soaks up things? Is this sort of some subliminal thing dealing with what? Cultural appropriation, taking and sucking up something that isn't yours, which cultural appropriation, forget it. Are you going to tell me is it cultural appropriation because I eat tacos and a Mexican guy is eating a cheeseburger at In-N-Out? Is that cultural appropriation? This just nonsense. The people who believe in diversity come out, and then when we actually celebrate the diversity in some way that allows us to identify with somebody who is not like us, then they call it cultural appropriation. This is coming out of Washington, University of Washington. Next one. I mean, this is just, I mean, they don't really get any better. University of New Hampshire, all these students coming out to destroy this display from Turning Point USA, screaming. These left-wing Antifa basement dwellers who will never get a decent job because who would want them, all screaming, I hope you die. I hope you die. That's their chant. This is the tolerant, inclusive left. Okay, San Francisco just comes out, blacklists 22 states that they contend disregards the right to abortion. Now, I have blacklisted San Francisco. That's right. I will not go back to that city to visit for a vacation. I will not go to Sodom, Francisco, unless I am invited there to minister, and this is a big and, there is no restriction put on what I can say. Otherwise, forget it. Skip the bay. I don't need it. I don't need to ever see it again. Has no particular appeal. And didn't the first time, many, many years ago. You get down to the Snopes. Snopes, interestingly, rhymes with dopes. I don't know if that's accidental or what have you. They are not an independent fact checker. They are simply trolls for the left. They're sort of prostitutes for left-wing ideology, because now they have concluded that they can no longer just be independent. That's right. Well, they never were independent. But what they're doing is they're just shedding this false, this facade of objectivity, because they have contended that Donald Trump and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson are, quote, such a unique threat to the world that experts must find new ways to reach people. And the way they're going to do this is that they said Trump and Johnson, quote, must be countered by the shared stories, experiences, and emotions of real people and how they are affected by the big global issues, end quote. Oh, isn't that just precious? Isn't that just peachy? Isn't that just peachy that Snopes is now touchy-feely? Forget the facts. The fact of the matter is they forgot the facts a long time ago. They actually didn't forget them. They purposefully disregarded the facts many years ago. So don't go to Snopes unless you're looking for some emotional salve of some sort. It has nothing to do with being a factual, independent arbiter of what's truth and what's not true. Not even close. Just forget them. They're history. They're looking to reinvent themselves because they've lost the credibility of anybody who's got a brain. Now, moving on. So we've got the transgender cyclist. I don't even want to say the person's name, because you know how I feel about the whole transgender issue. Transgenders are easily diagnosable. They're homosexuals, for starters, who logically and correctly and appropriately feel guilty about a same-sex attraction, which they should. However they came by that, they should. But the way they deal with it is not to seek salvation and deliverance, for there have been many, many thousands and thousands of homosexuals have been delivered, are now married with the opposite sex, and have born children. Okay? That's a fact. That's the fact instead of global warming. You say, well, that's a fact. No, the established fact is there's deliverance in Jesus Christ, and it is clearly stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think it is, that says, such were some of you. Some of you were effeminate. Some of you were drunkards. Some of you were sodomites, basically. But not anymore. You've been redeemed. You've been cleansed. You've been delivered. Therein lies the fact that we can be severed from that which has saddled us in sin for a long time. But the transgender, all of these so-called women who are really guys, who are beating the daylights out of all legitimate women in various sports competitions, whether it's weightlifting, whether it's cycling, I'm actually sort of glad for that development. Are you serious? I'm glad. Yes, I am. Because I'm afraid I need to see women taken advantage of athletically and get ticked off as a 51% segment of our entire population to bring this absolute nonsense, this abhorrent abomination of transgenderism to a screeching halt. We need a gazillion women screaming unfair because it is unfair. So the transgender cyclist has made this statement. I can't believe we're to the first break. Don't go away. We are just getting started. The Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. We will be back with you shortly because you're not going to believe what you're going to hear on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com. Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. I was mentioning before, this is just a little sampling of what we're leading up to here in this first point that I want to make about the attempt, the growing attempt, growing very fast to have radical changes to our laws in the form of a new constitution, a constitutional convention, some brought on by conservatives, much of it brought on by leftists, which you'll hear about in a minute. But I'm talking about this transgender cyclist, and this is just one of many, and they all say the same thing. I've said transgenderism is essentially a homosexual who appropriately feels guilty and concerned about their homosexuality, doesn't seek deliverance through the gospel, but instead looks for a way to rationalize his or her behavior by pretending to be the opposite sex, so that in being the opposite sex, at least in their own mind, they now feel morally legitimate about desiring their true sex. They feel legitimate that they feel legitimate now in desiring what they consider to be the opposite sex, but in reality is the same sex. That's how they rationalize their move to the opposite sex, because they can now feel okay. I was a guy, but I'm really a woman. But as a woman, now I can legitimately and morally desire a man, even though I'm really a man because the person is really homosexual. It is not that complex. Hey, I'm a lawyer. Even I can figure this out. Okay? It just isn't that hard to put this together. I hear this all the time. So it says, transgender cyclist claims scientific data proves he has no advantage over women. All right, no advantage over women. So listen to that for a second. Okay, so this is a guy who claims he's a woman, but then says he has no advantage over women. But wait a minute. If you are a woman, why would you be saying you don't have any advantage over a woman if you weren't internally acknowledging and in fact admitting that you're really a guy? How could you even make that statement if you say, hey, I'm a woman? You're a guy, but you say, I'm a woman, and I don't have any advantage over women. Well, you wouldn't even say that if you're a woman. That's like saying, me as a male, saying, I have no advantage over males. Well, of course, that doesn't even make sense, does it? No, it doesn't. This is just ludicrous. But I'm actually glad all this stuff is happening, because like I said, I think we just need to have a gazillion women really ticked off to bring this nonsense to a halt. Small item, maybe the state of California governor signs bill now requiring medical abortion at public colleges. And why? Because he just can't get enough of killing innocent, unborn human life. That's along with the 15 gun laws and the new queer indoctrination laws for K-12, making California once again leading in the race in pole position on the way to hell. So all of that leading up to this piece, which we are then going to get to the scripture that applies to where we are. A new poll has come out and indicates that a majority of Americans want to rewrite the First Amendment. to fit to the cultural norms of today, end quote, in order to stop, quote, hate speech, end quote. Of course, you know my definition of hate speech. It's something that I say that somebody else hates. So somebody who's Christophobic, bibliophobic, Elohimophobic, El Shaddaiophobic, they hate the word of God. They hate Jesus. They hate being... So they hate the consequences of what I would speak. In other words, these are people who hate truth. These are truthophobes. That's really what they are, truthophobes. And they want to rewrite the First Amendment. 51% of Americans want to see the First Amendment rewritten, while more than 54% want to restrict free speech in some way. And it, among millennials, it's 60% that says the Constitution goes too far in allowing what they consider to be hate speech. And 54% of them want jail time associated with a crime of hate speech. Now, according to the Tea Party PAC, and I've vetted this article, I want to quote them. It says, these results are astonishing and really illustrate just how badly the public education system is regarding the freedom of speech. If the worst things people can say are not allowed. So what they're trying to determine is what is considered hate speech, for that is an entirely subjective discussion. It would be impossible to set these parameters and would become entirely politically problematic for the government to determine what speech is considered hate speech. Now, I have said this all along. You really want the socialists, because this is a socialistic idea. Nobody's going to implement it except socialists. Do you really want socialists determining what constitutes hate speech? Of course not. That's what socialism is. Look, you can go to England, folks, which is not even a socialist country. It's semi-socialist, and you can get locked up for saying all sorts of words like queer or fag or whatever the words might be. I'm not suggesting you go around with a bullhorn and saying that. You can't speak against Islam. It's all hate speech, and you can land in jail and get a fine. That's a semi-socialist country. Imagine what you get when you're in true socialism. Well, here's what is going on. By virtue of the abhorrent, ridiculous, overpriced education, which is utterly worthless at so many public colleges and universities for so many majors, the left has been very successful in one of their tasks. And they have focused on and pursued the mission of separating us from our past. Separating us from the Bible, separating us from our constitutional roots, separating us from the unique history so that they can remake our future. Separate us from the past so they can remake our future. And it's serious for us because to whom much is given, much is required. Much was given to Israel. Much was required of them. Much has been given to the United States. Much is required of us. So here's the deal. Those who want to remake the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, to redo the Constitution because they say it's outdated, and this is a position that sadly is embraced by many on the conservative side, thinking that the laws need to be changed and made more strict to bring the left into compliance. The left wants it redone because they are tired of having to deal to get to their desired end of lawlessness based upon the constraints placed in the Constitution. See, it was George Washington that said that the people need to be bound down by the chains of the Constitution. Washington understood that people were fundamentally not good. Benjamin Franklin, coming out of the Constitutional Convention, they said, ask him what he had. What do we have? And he said, well, you have a republic. If you can keep it. We have a republic if you can keep it. Now, what these individuals recognize is something I want to come to here in just a moment, because the problem has never been our Constitution. The problem is not the need to remake the laws. And I want to give you a clear cut and almost alarming example of the truth of this from Scripture, and it comes out of Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. Now, I want you to consider what you're going to hear and just consider how much of this applies to the United States. And then we're going to come to our conclusion from this scripture because of what happened to Israel and to whom the law was given. So this is God speaking to the nation of Israel and stating that in Leviticus 18, chapter 18, verse 20, he says, "Thou shalt not lie carnally with my neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her." Okay, so he's saying you don't commit adultery. Adultery used to be a crime in this country. You could get sued if you were a guy who interfered with somebody else's marriage under a tort theory called alienation of affections. So if you were a house wrecker, if you were a home wrecker, you could get sued. And maybe far enough back you could go to jail. I don't know. But anyway, so God starts out with that. Don't do this. And then he says, "Thou shalt not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech." Who was Molech? Molech was a god to whom you offered up your young children as human sacrifices. That remind you of anything? No, it ought to, because that was done voluntarily. We've got now a government that subsidizes the execution of innocent unborn children in the womb. Same thing. That's what we've got. It's actually worse because it's actually supported by Supreme Court decisions and laws and morally lost states like Illinois and Massachusetts, California, New York that love abortion. They don't seem to be happy unless they got blood dripping from their lips. Next verse. Well, part of verse 21. "Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." You know, you used to be able to go to jail. No, you could be put in jail for public swearing in the United States, taking the Lord's name in vain. But now the Lord is the one that always is taken in vain. But the TV programs, do they have the guts? Do they have the cojones to make fun of Islam, Allah Shmala? No, they don't do that. They don't dare to make fun of anybody except Christians, because they know Christians are just going to suck it up, and Christians don't have the guts to fight back most of the time. Most of the time they don't. That's why we are where we are, in part. Next verse, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind." It's an abomination. God's saying queer sex makes him sick. It's abominable. That's what that means. This debauchery at that level is detestable. Next verse, "Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto." It is confusion. You see, where confusion is, lies every evil work. Satan is the author of confusion, and we have states that are in the process of decriminalizing bestiality. Do you know a couple years ago in Massachusetts, it was taken from a felony to a misdemeanor and then a very minor misdemeanor, which nobody pursues. And do you know the only ones that objected to the decriminalization of bestiality? PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. The only ones that stood up were the ones standing up for the protection of the animals. That's how sick and sorry this nation has become. But continue on with this passage. "Do not defile yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I, the Lord, cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself will vomit out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. You shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourns among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled." Now listen to verse 28. "And the land will vomit, and that the land vomit not you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you." So what's God saying here? Israel, there's much been given to you, and much is required. U.S., there's much been given to you. Much is required. God is not going to spare the United States if we go down the same, well, if we continue to go down the same path. We're mostly down this path. We have enjoyed these liberties established on the word of God, and now in the name of idolatry and sexual libertine attitudes, we are picking our own future, the demise. We are in a headlong race headed towards the abyss as a country. I personally believe and have believed this for a long time that we're headed for civil war. So for all my pre-trib rapture friends who don't like what I say because I don't believe there's a pre-trib rapture, not even close, but who seem to somehow equate the downfall of the United States with the tribulation, which of course there is no connection at all, and they therefore think that things before things get really bad in the United States, which they equate with the tribulation as a whole, they're going to get yanked out of here. Folks, don't forget for a second, God can judge any nation like he did Israel at any point along the way, having nothing to do with the tribulation, while we end up with a civil war because of the result of our sins. That's what God did when he split Judah and Benjamin from the other 10 tribes. They basically ended up in civil war, and God did it because of sin. He was the one that triggered that. So the point here is, you take what Israel was given, and what was Israel given? The perfect law. Perfect law. The Ten Commandments, as supplemented by the things that God specifically gave to Moses for the purpose of implementing the civil order, the dealing with criminals, the punishment for criminal behavior, maintaining civility in the world, in the community, in a particular nation, was all laid out. And would God give Israel a shoddy product? Look, this isn't based on grace, folks. There is no grace among nations. Don't get saved. The nations function under the law. They are not individuals. The law is the same, and the law says in the New Testament, the law is for the ungodly. That's what God laid it out. That's in the New Testament. It says the law is for the ungodly, and the ungodly need to be dealt with according to the terms of the law, which God laid out in the Old Testament. It's not old in the sense it's outdated. It just came before the New Testament in that respect. So if Israel had the perfect law, the perfect law. Now, we got a good law in this country. Our Constitution was good. It wasn't perfect. It got better when we had the 14th and 15th Amendments, 13th, 14th, and 15th, and specific amendments, the Bill of Rights, all of which improved it along the way. Started out good, but it got a lot better. It's not perfect. It's not perfect like Israel had. And look what happened to them. God is looking at all of this incredible fornication and bestiality and queer sex and adultery and abortion, the equivalent of abortion, and saying, look, I drove out the nations before you that did these things, and don't think for a second that as you go into this stuff, I won't drive you out. And did they go into it? Yes, they did. Did God drive them out? Yes, he did. Will he do the same to us? Yes, he will. The point being is if you change the law, the changing of the law, which in our case, in our country, was good. Would you want to change the law in the Old Testament for the Hebrews saying, look, we got these leaders, they're out of control, let's change the law. Well, wait a second. God gave you a perfect law. The problem was never with the law. The problem was with the hearts of man. Then and now, nothing but repentance alters this. I will tell you, I would rather have I'd rather be in a country where for a period of time that there would be no laws whatsoever, generally speaking, but you had righteous people in authority, than to be in a country where you had all these great laws that were implemented, controlled, and interpreted by people who were essentially lawless. People who hate Jesus hate God. It says that those who deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh are antichrists. So guess what kind of implementation of good laws would you have if a bunch of little antichrists were running the show? Forget the laws. You know, you got the fox guarding the hen house. You got the lunatics running the asylum. You see, this is an unwise thing that you can see from Scripture to run in to try to change our laws in some way to try to bind the people down. We have good laws. We have bad judges in many places, bad politicians, and unfortunately, feckless preachers. Yep, they're in there. They're the ones that are principally responsible for where we are. Preachers who haven't preached the whole counsel of God, and then have and never make a case for parents to keep their children out of government schools. There you go. Okay, moving along to the impeachment. Teaching point number two for today. You know, this is just really incredible what is going on in this whole impeachment process. I am just stunned at how unbelievably uncivil, undemocratic, unfair that the Democrats have been in the process of pursuing this impeachment. And while I really don't want to just replicate what you're hearing on the mainstream media, or the mainstream, not that I wouldn't replicate that, but maybe through Breitbart or Fox, I do need to mention a couple of things because I want to point out something you will not hear on secular news. And that is what we can look forward to and should be praying about with respect to this issue. Now, I was thrilled that Lindsey Graham has come to the defense of the president here, because this is just nothing but a kangaroo court that the Democrats are pursuing. And Representative Bradley Byrne out of, where's he from? Alabama. He was one of those individuals that supposedly stormed the closed door meeting because the Democrats won't let anybody in there. They won't let anybody who's not appointed to be in there. They won't let any testimony come out unless they leak things, which they do all the time, to the press about the bad stuff, but then they won't reveal the full testimony. They won't let anything be revealed that is supportive of the president because they're trying to continue to fuel and funnel this narrative with the typical Democratic schemes of lies and working out things in the dark catacombs of their demonic dungeons, if you will. Byrne said that the Democrats told him that they had to be private because they were doing the work of a special prosecutor. Byrne correctly and aptly said, quote, "We're not prosecutors in the House of Representatives. That's not our job. They're supposed to be conducting an inquiry, which is supposed to be public. They've showed their hand by saying that." So he went on to say that the Democrats wouldn't let him in because they had electronic devices. That was false. He said it's a complete sham. None of us had our cell phones with us. This is a travesty. Now, listen to this. Lindsey Graham made this point, and I think it was really great. He compared Clinton's impeachment to Trump's. He said under Clinton, he said the House had a debate and a vote on an inquiry. We've had no vote here, and the Republicans are pushing for a vote. Have a vote. Well, the Democrats are afraid. They're gutless. They're a pack of weenies, not willing to show the fact that maybe they don't have the votes, because here's what's going to happen. They can assemble their selected facts any way they want, but they are not the prosecutor. They're only supposed to collect information. They leak out what they want to have leaked out. They particularly put a limit and handcuffs on the release of anything that they don't want leaked out, to create in the public eyes that the president ought to be impeached. Well, they kind of get there. About 50% think that, because they're just being fed. They're just being fed garbage. It's garbage in, garbage out. That's what the media does. They know that they don't have to report the news. They know that they're in a position that they can create the news. And they do that by selectively releasing and having leaks of the information they want leaked, but none of the exculpatory things that would show that this is nothing but a kangaroo court trying to try a guy for one and only one crime, and that was getting elected in 2016. So Lindsey Graham went on, he said, in Clinton's impeachment, there was a defined scope of inquiry. Not true here. In Clinton's impeachment proceeding, the members can see evidence. Not here. In Clinton's, the president's counsel could attend. Not here. In Clinton's impeachment, specific rules for the investigation were laid out. There are no rules here with Trump, because after all, why follow the rule? They haven't been following the rules so far. Why start following them now? That's all that they've done for the last two and a half years, is to go on this mindless multi-million dollar vendetta against somebody for getting elected. Under Clinton's impeachment proceedings, they were allowed to challenge the evidence. Oh, forget that. Here, not even close. The minority party was given subpoena power under Clinton. Not here. You see, the Democrats haven't played by any of the rules of which they were part and parcel in creating. They have bottled up this thing on purpose so that they can do one thing, and that is to keep feeding negative news to the media, because they don't have the economy to clamor about. It's robust. They know that Trump has now raised $300 million. They don't have their fundraising effort has been stinking. So you see, they're in deep doo-doo on so many levels in this campaign, this action, that they are just simply doing what is necessary to create the most negative climate they possibly can, but proving what they really are in reality. And what are they in reality? Well, they're neurotic. They're moronic. They seem to be demonic. They are truthophobes. They're Elohimophobes. They're El Shaddaiophobes. They're Bibliophobes. They're Christophobes. They've shown themselves to be pernicious, perverted, gutless, immoral, demented, benighted, evil. They've shown themselves to be vicious, vile, venomous, vitriolic, vengeful, and vindictive. They are wicked at every level. They're hypocritical. They're liars. They're deceivers. They're cheaters. They're disrespectful. They're hate mongers. They act like Nimrods. They're feckless, and they're wimpish, and they're whiners. They're just a sorry pack of losers. But I will say, of course, I say this with all due respect. Okay? Well, back to the hearing. Oh, well, not the hearings, but the impeachment inquiry. I want to read this piece from Breitbart. It is really, I've vetted this. It's on the money. It says, even though we are talking about a process designed to overturn a national election, the accused President Trump has no rights, nor do his surrogates among the House Republicans. They are not only restricted from calling their own witnesses, which is unprecedented in the history of impeachment, they cannot even publicize their side of the story without violating Adam Schiff's fascist rules. So you want to see what a fascist is? Go look at the Democrats. They're the ones that believe all the power belongs in the government, and they're going to use it to force and ram and cram and slam and jam down all of their dogma, whether it deals with queer this, stripping of us our guns, forced abortion, you name it, forcing the abortions on the schools and the universities. They're the fascists. Well, you know what? I can't keep going on with this. It's getting me too bothered here. But I need to get to the biblical portion of this, and I need to get there soon, because this is upsetting me too much. Does the Bible speak to this? Absolutely. I am so glad you asked the question, because the Bible speaks to everything that is of material significance in life, whether you know it or not. So this is what the Bible says about the Democrats and Adam Schiff. And who will be shiftless when this is done. All right? Let's start with Luke 8:17. And in the interest of time, I could not pull together all King James verses. So I'm going to quote from the English Standard Version. But forgive me, get a piece of paper out. You might want to write these down. Oh my gosh, we're to another break. Well, you might write it down after the break. Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. Do not go away. We'll be right back.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. Okay, so we're talking about the Democrats doing everything in secret. They don't want to let anything out except something that looks good for nailing Trump. They won't release anything that would exonerate Trump. They were violated every procedural rule in the world because, after all, they're little antichrists, and the antichrist is, of all defining characteristics, or characteristics, the most defining one is lawlessness, right? Okay, we got it. They're the lawless ones. Are in charge of the law. And this is the House Intelligence Committee, not displaying much intelligence at all. It's kind of turning into the House Dumbness Committee here. But as to the secrecy, as to their attempt to prevent people from shining a light under the Democrat refrigerator, seeing what garbage and trash and moldy stuff is under there, there are passages in Scripture that should give us hope. And not just hope, but confidence. And I want to give those to you. I want you to end with a sense that God will bring about a justice in this matter. I really believe that. We're going to start with Luke 8:17. For nothing is hidden, right? That will not be made manifest. Nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. So it's going to come to light. What they're hiding somehow is going to come out. Luke 12:23, therefore whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing. So God is going to make that which is hidden in the dark and secret known, and with that will come a judgment. Mark 4:22, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. Now, I'm going to shift over to the King James on a particular verse here that I think is really instructful, insightful. I think it's exciting. So the Democrats got this whole issue going by making a big deal about the whistleblower whose second, third-hand knowledge. You know, they didn't hear this originally, but you know what? They're not looking for the truth. If lies serve their purpose, they're entirely comfortable with lies. Because they have no morals. There's no constraint upon their behavior. So they use every means possible to light the fuse to this issue so that it's a big burning ball of fire in the sky before all of the public and all of the media. But listen to this passage from Luke 8:16, and you'll never have heard it applied in this manner. But tell me if this doesn't fit exactly. This is what I say. You know the word, and you'll find the application to it when the situation comes about to make the application. It says in Luke 8:16, it says, no man, when he has lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or puts it under a bed, or sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. But they set it on a candlestick, that they may, when they enter, they see it in the light. They don't cover the vessel. They don't put it under a bed. But look what the Democrats have done. They have lit the candle on this issue. They've lit the fuse to the dynamite. But they also know that they actually really can't reveal what's going on because it will be the unmasking of their intent. Just the same silly, juvenile, sophomoric, impish, immoral attempt to unseat a validly elected president. So they've lit the candle on this matter, But who would light a candle, but then cover it with a vessel or put it under the bed? Who would give this thing the illumination that they think is necessary to unseat a president, and then cover up the meetings with secrecy, not allow anything to get out, to put all the testimony that would exonerate Trump under the bed? Who would do that? Well, only somebody who's hiding something. They're hiding the truth. They are hiding the truth. And the fact that they would make such a big deal out of it to get the process going, and then once the process is going, completely obscure the process, tells me that the whole thing is a sham and a fake from the beginning. It's nothing but a tool to disgrace and dislodge this president from office. Keep him in prayer. Pray that these passages that I gave you will come to pass, and that it will be full disclosure. And now the last thing I want to share, and I think I've just got time from it, comes from 2 Kings chapter 6. And I want to start with verse 8. Because in this passage, 2 Kings 6:8, the king of Syria has waged war against Israel. Now, it might be that God, I don't know how God is going to get this information out that the Democrats are keeping hid. I don't know how it's going to blow up. Maybe it gets to the Senate and the Senate unmasks the whole thing. I'm not sure. But listen to this passage. It says, "And the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place, we're going to have our camp.' But the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware, don't go that way, because the Syrians are there waiting for you. They're in the camp.' And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned them of it, and saved themselves there, not once nor twice." Meaning this has happened more than two times, that the king of Syria would make plans to ambush the Hebrews in a particular location. But then the Hebrews would get word that there was an ambush taking place, and then they would avoid the ambush. So verse 11, it says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me who of you is for the king of Israel?'" You see, the king of Syria assumed he had a leaker that had Jewish predisposed to supporting the Hebrews, that there was somebody leaking the king's plans that were done in secret and were getting them to the Hebrews, and that's how they kept avoiding the ambushes of the Syrian king. But then, it says, verse 12, "And one of his servants," one of the king of Syria's servants, "said, 'None of us, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." Oh my gosh, I love this. Elisha, a man of God, he's just sitting there, and whatever the king is saying, believing it to be private and the dark secret catacombs of his of the House Intelligence Committee room, two or three floors below ground. This is what I'm praying and believing for. There's a man of God somewhere that may well be hearing what they're saying in those dark secret places. They'll believe they've been wiretapped. They'll believe there's been a leaker, and maybe there will be a leaker. I don't know how God is going to make all the passages that I have read to you from Luke and Ecclesiastes and so forth. I don't know how he's going to cause those to come to pass, but they will come to pass, and this may be one of those ways. You see, if the enemy has taken secret counsel to destroy us, do you think God hears that? Do you think the Lord, the creator of the universe, is somehow just missed what they were saying? No. He can take what is said, place it in the ears and the heart and the mind of a modern day Elisha, and say, this is what they're doing. This is what they're planning. Don't fall for this trap. Don't say this. Don't do that, because you're going to be falling into the trap. They've laid this for you. I'm here to share it with you. I don't know that that's happening. I am praying that it will happen. And if it has been happening, that it will continue. That there are men and women of God that are hearing in their heart, in the spirit, what Adam Schiff is speaking in what he believes to be the private, most private places and the most secure place that he could in some underground quarantine chamber. Because we serve the God of the universe. They serve the devil. And folks, there is no match. There never has been, never will be. At the end of the age, we come back, thousands, millions of us with Jesus riding a white horse out of heaven, Revelation 19, descending on the earth when Jesus makes war with the world that is left, that has opposed him, that hates him, all the ungodly. Read passage Jude 14. Jude 14, write it down and read it. You'll see what God and we, joining with Jesus, does at the end of the world to deal with this all this ungodliness. But in the meantime, our Father is still on the throne. And Adam Schiff is fighting a losing battle because we serve a God of the universe. Lift up our president in prayer. Remember, do not forget to sit tall in the saddle. America and all of you listening throughout the world, because we ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.